This is the Medicine Podcast. I am Mimi, Mushroom Queen, AHCC educator, and culinary nutrition expert. I am quite obsessed with providing the unique knowledge for those that want to prevent disease in their body, in their mind, and in their relationships. If that's you, then you are in the exact right place, my love. Let's go take the medicine. Hello, you beautiful people. Thanks for listening. You are about to join me and my love, Chase, under the red hat. If you have never listened to an Under the Red Hat episode, it's basically Chase and I's conversations where we dive into each other and ourselves and God and the universe. Nothing is off limits. They go from super silly to deep and even sometimes talking about sex. So not always G-rated. Spoiler warning. And this one is great. We start off pretty lighthearted, but then we very quickly get into some deep questions and deep thoughts. Things like why we both love health and wellness now, and compared to our past orthorexic tendencies, we get a little vulnerable, kind of right off the bat, talking about, you know, food and fitness and dopamine versus serotonin. We talk about hormone health and both of our battles and us just tanking our hormones and what that looked like for us and how it affected our relationship, and how it can affect others' relationships and vice versa. We talked about some of our experience with naked people at Burning Man. This one is just full of nuggets, and even, you know, our current thoughts on marriage and what we think that that covenant should look like. And then, of course, we always ask, what is the medicine for you today? And we answer that question. So I hope you enjoy this little peek into our lives and relationship and minds. Enjoy.
It's like the moon's white brightness. Mm. It just lights up the darkness.
My smile. Mm-hmm. The light that lets you see through the dark.
Yeah, your love light lets me see through the dark.
If you had to change your name to like a woke, weird, hippie name, what would it be? Like legally, like you have to be called this.
Wow.
Like Phoebe Mode in Friends when she changes her name to Princess Consuela Banana Hammock.
I would probably need some time to think about that.
Yeah, that's a pretty big decision.
It's a pretty big decision.
It wouldn't be one who sees through the dark?
Yeah. But that's kind of a sentence.
Yeah. Hey, one.
Hey, one.
It just sounds like one.
The one. The chasing one.
Yeah.
That's not bad. That's pretty woke. It's my Instagram handle, everybody. At the chasing one. Check it out. Hundreds of thousands of followers. Pushing a million.
Yeah, that'd be hard to say, like, the chasing one. And this might be weird. We're going to get weird right off the bat.
Yeah, let's do it.
But whenever I think of a name and if it's weird or not, I picture saying it during sex.
Wow. Interesting.
Not like I'm picturing sex with that person, but like even just like a name like, I don't know, like Bob.
Yeah, Bob.
Oh, yeah. Bob.
Like, oh, Bobby. Yeah. Well, then you'd think about your mom, Bobby.
Or my sister's fiance.
Right.
Yeah. Which, yeah, I don't necessarily want to, but just like the name Bob or Frank or George.
You think people are still out there naming their babies in 2019 Bob?
I don't know.
Like, that maybe. One's really been used. It's really, yeah, gone around. And I get it if it's like Robert the second or the, yeah, third or
I think
junior.
Naming your kid Robert or like there's so many names that can stem, yeah, off from Robert. Robert, Bobby. Robbie, Rob, Bob, Roberto. Bobby, Roberto.
Robe.
Also, yeah. The Robster.
Robster.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. So I guess parents can never really anticipate what other kids or who, you know, what nicknames are going to arise, yeah, from. But yeah, Bob is just zero creativity with the mouth.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. That one's been used. At this point, it's been used. Let's retire it for a little while. Mm-hmm. Some point, Bob's gonna work.
Bob's gonna bounce back.
It's gonna bounce back.
Yeah, for sure. But there are like
he will bob back if you will.
He will stay true to his name. It's funny though how names like cycle. Like you hear about little girls now being named like Lola and Nina and
right.
Like these names that are kind of for older
what
women.
What if you went way back? Nancy. Like way back and looked into the historical like medieval times.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just dug up some gems.
Well, I think we should.
Okay.
I'm serious. Like right. I'd be cool with like naming my child something that's like really cool and means something like a Sanskrit word.
Yeah.
That's like really beautiful.
Yeah.
That, you know, means something to me or I think is really beautiful, but totally. I've maybe never heard the word or name before, or maybe it's not even a name. It's a word and I make it a name or we make it a name.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm like really not into just naming, like, especially now, I feel like it would be a disservice to all the things I've learned and and come across in the last couple of years.
Definitely.
If I was just like, yeah.
I like the idea of middle names being kind of a nod to somebody.
Yeah, for sure.
Like somebody you care about.
Yeah, family.
Family.
I think that's...
You know, Michael Jordan, whatever.
Yeah, uh-huh. Michael Jordan 1.
I used to joke as a kid that I was going to name my kid Michael Jordan Ramey. Like...
Yeah, first name Michael,
and
middle name Jordan.
I still... I think I might just move both Michael Jordan into one word as the middle name.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, just say it really fast.
Super, like, weird, like, Moon Michael Jordan Ramey.
Ocean.
Yeah.
Or just The.
The.
First name The.
Hey, The. It's not too bad.
Yeah. The. Picturing it during sex. The.
It's too good. Why do you think that people, and it's like, one, why do people do this? But then two, what's the time frame before something old becomes cool again?
Mm.
So like, why do people get nostalgic, get vintage, want to be retro? Like, I don't know what it is right now. Is it probably the 90s-ish? Like people, I see the glasses that look like they're from the 90s.
Crop tops, 90, like big, like platform tennis shoes.
Yeah, but in the year 2001, when everyone was putting frosted tips on their hair and wearing baggy jeans with puka shell necklaces.
Yeah, it's like, where do these trends come from?
Why the hell, like, why the hell were we doing that? But it was normal.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but to think about doing something with 90s. Attire would have been like, oh, weird. What are they doing? But now it's cool. Like you walk into Urban Outfitters and it feels like Nickelodeon from 1998 or something. It's weird.
And for sure. And I saw a girl yesterday walking down the streets of Coronado. She's probably 16, like really cute girl. She's wearing straight up just 70s bell bottoms, which they looked really cute on her. I'm not saying anything about that, but it is interesting how I've seen that a few times now where it's like very extreme things. It's not just like, oh, bigger sunglasses. It's like that is from the 60s. That is from the 70s. That is very specific. I don't know like the life cycle and who decides.
Yeah.
Certainly it's not that 16-year-old girl that's deciding what she gets from Kohl's.
Yeah. Isn't that odd? Who decides? Is it
Europe? Is it like the fashion whatever in Europe?
They just like... The people who decide this, just like, is there a specific Illuminati that's just all around like fashion trends?
I heard that.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Is that for real? Did you actually hear that?
No.
Oh.
I don't know, like, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's this constant, what you have isn't good enough.
Yes.
You need more. That shirt, you can't wear it another time. You already wore it twice.
Right.
Like, what are your friends going to think?
Isn't that funny
how we boy, do that? Isn't going to like you if he sees you wear the same shirt three times.
Yeah.
You can't, you're going to a new event. You can't wear the same dress you wore last year. I know you, it's perfectly good and you paid $400 for it, but don't wear it again.
That's crazy.
That's the voice.
And
in a girl's
I
head.
Do it. I'm, I don't even care about clothes. I literally don't care about clothes and fashion. I wear tank tops and shorts and maybe underwear. Occasionally.
Maybe.
But the thing is, if I had an event or even work, like even my tank tops, I'll be like, wore that one about 4 days ago.
Yeah.
Should probably give it a couple more days before I break it back out at work.
Yeah.
And it's only because of what other people think about me.
Right. Because you want to wear it. Otherwise, you wouldn't even be thinking about it.
Yeah.
I remember very specific times where I lived with CJ. CJ is my brother. Shout out. Big shout out.
Shout out.
We lived together in Arizona. And he would help me, or I would help him, like, figure out what to wear to different, like, things. I don't know. And, or even just work. And I would come in and he would be like, oh, they saw me wear this 4 weeks ago, these same people. And there was this event like 2 months ago, legit. Like, he knew the date that he wore this and which people saw him wear it. It was like,
yeah,
he's crazy smart, but he's using that like energy, intelligence for remembering.
So maybe
who
jump
saw
on the other
what.
Side. I don't ever remember what people are wearing unless it's pretty out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I have had people, some people are dialed in on it, so I don't really know where to stand. Because, like, some people will, oh my God, especially if you're bright colored tank top or something. I love that tank top. Or you'll hear a comment like, oh, you always wear that Britney Spears t-shirt.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, well, shit, I gotta space it out a little bit. I gotta keep this thing fresh.
Yeah.
Can't saturate the Britney Spears.
No, you can't desensitize people to Brit.
No.
Can't do that to her.
Yeah, what a predicament.
Yeah, it's weird. It's, I don't know where it comes from as humans. I mean, ultimately, it's the fear of someone judging you or thinking that you're maybe poor and you only have six shirts.
Yeah, it's a combination of, yeah, exactly. That's a really good point. I remember my dad talking about that. Like, it was all hand-me-downs from his older siblings. It was like school clothes. And even a lot of times it was last year's that you just like open the seam up to make the pants a little longer. Mm. Or like, oh, here's your one pair of shoes for the next 24 months. Good luck growing.
Yeah. You know? So tell your body to slow down.
Yeah. So they
bit.
Buy them like super big. So like the first day of school would always have these, you know, like clown style shoes. But, you know, 3 years later, you're good. You're good to go.
Yeah, you got to grow.
And brutal haircuts.
Yeah.
Like,
that's a rite of passage.
I mean, in the 70s with guys, I guess maybe if you were in like Southern California or New York City or somewhere with like some level of fashion. But in Montana, at least, when I look back at those pictures of my dad's haircuts, we joke about putting a ruler to that thing. But dude guy had a straight, just bowl cut at all times.
Yeah.
Brutal.
It's like a rite of passage.
Also, just shout out to Randog, aka the alpha wolf of the Raimi family. Blonde hair, beautiful blonde hair, terrible haircuts, but beautiful blonde hair back in this day.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It was kind of like, was it like strawberry blonde a little bit?
Yeah,
like
strawberry
kinda like
blonde.
Just like a tinge of pink.
Right. Picture that. It was kind of like, again, big shout out, much love to my dad. But if you've ever seen Benchwarmers, Nick Swartzen plays a character who's afraid of the sun and has beautiful, beautiful blonde bowl cut hair. Big shout out, Randog. He was repping that hairstyle.
I don't know how you became a human. Like,
there was this phase when I was a robot and transitioned.
Listen,
had a couple surgeries.
Looking at your dad and like the Raimi clan, and like 2/3 of people are redhead. And yeah, your mom has brown hair, but she has a lot of redhead on her side too, right?
Yeah, she's got a couple reds in there.
And those genes are so strong.
Yeah.
And I just don't know how you came out a brownie.
I'm a brownie with a little, just a little bit of powdered sugar on top. I don't know. I'm grateful. Pretty grateful about it. Happy to be brown.
Oh, I'm happy. I'm really happy with the way you look. Just if my vote counts. No, I'm just, it blows my mind sometimes.
Yeah.
You
know, I had a question for you this morning when I was laying in bed thinking about this discussion. My question is,
I can't wait.
Why do you love health?
Mm.
Why? And it doesn't have to be like, why have you loved it? Doesn't have to be the same answer always. I know it's not for me, but why do you love it today? And what got you to that point?
That's a great question.
I know.
Why do I love it today? Well, I think I'm going to try to give an answer that I have never given on any, like, talking to anyone or people when they ask me. Like,
don't give me the answer you gave on the Today Show.
Okay, I won't. I think one reason why that consistently reinforces my love for health is that we both love it, and it brings us closer, and it's something that we have in common that we're both passionate about and that we can both speak to. And I definitely feel that, like, it's a connector for us.
Yeah.
Not that we've ever relied on it, especially in part two, to connect us. It just does. It's not like, well,
it's like
I have to worry about, like, you seeing the real side of me someday or whatever. Excuse me. I think that's something that reinforces connection and stimulation and, like, deeper conversation, things that we know that I can bring up and you're going to be interested in it because it has to do with health.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go to the subconscious, like, why. Also, being real, I'm vain. It's gotten better. I think past the point of just always wanting to look perfect, rather more towards, I'm really trying to shift towards, like, self-love, doing things out of because I love my body, because I love myself, because I want to take care of myself, because I don't want disease. but there still is an aspect of the decisions I make. God, I just got a froggy in my throat. The decisions that I make, I know how they're going to affect my aesthetic. And I care about my body. I want to be fit. I want to look good, not only for myself and, like, confidence. Certainly your confidence doesn't stem only from your appearance, but also I want to stay fit for you too. Like, stay healthy for you. I want you to be attracted to me. I know that has a huge thing, a huge impact on it. But yeah, I would say those two things today. And also, I always feel good after. Whatever the thing is, whether it's choosing a salad over pizza or choosing to go for a walk or sit on your butt and watch Netflix or whatever the health dilemma is, whenever I choose, which is 99% of the time, whenever I choose the thing that's better for my body or better for health, I feel better.
And I'm going to jump in and just agree with me if you agree. Mm-hmm. But feeling better, feeling good is feeling satisfied, right? Feeling satiated. It's that serotonin release instead of pleasure, dopamine. That feels good too, but not enough.
Right.
Feeling good and having it feel like it's enough and like it was perfect instead of that was really good. I want so much. I want endless. I want endless amount of this.
Yeah. Cause certainly you feel good when you're biting the Big Mac,
right?
When you're biting the French fries.
Yeah.
But it's short lived. Either it's gonna like mess up your health, like, and how you not feel just physically food,
like even the feeling good of physical fitness, like it feels good to get the Instagram likes when your abs are visible on a shirtless picture, but it's like I want more of that, and then oh shit, that's kind of pressure to keep it up. That's this weird, like, not really satisfying, fulfilling versus wow, I just rolled out of bed and my body didn't hurt.
Yeah.
Like, or I was able to use the abdominal muscles that I've built for great sex.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. Big difference. Or something I really didn't know until, or not that I didn't know, but that I didn't sit, reflect on, observe. Right. I was just like full reaction.
Yeah.
And it's weird how we always choose the dopamine or we want to choose the dopamine. We want to choose the ice cream instead of the avocado. but you eat that full avocado and you're like, oh my God, I'm completely satisfied. Mm-hmm. I'm firing on all cylinders. I'm not like addicted to something versus me. Yeah. I could eat ice cream.
Until you literally
until
feel
I
sick.
Until I projectile
right.
vomit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people do that.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to go get ice cream later?
Yeah. Right now. Yeah. I think that's a, yeah, it's a really good point that not only are you getting like the quick, likes yeah. and things like that and the attention or whatever, but it's sustained yeah. and it gets,
and it's holistically, it's yeah. holistic. It's not just food. It's not just exercise. It's anything along the lines of health, mental health. Mm-hmm. When I lived alone and I was trying to like get out of the space of just sit, like I was always active, always working out, always eating healthy. But when you live alone, you kind of just like sit in your own brain, or instead of just chilling, watching weird, you know, deep dives on YouTube about Illuminati or something, which is fun to do on occasion, no mm-hmm. doubt about it. But I'd sit there, hit the vape pen, and just like lose hours of my brain. Mm-hmm. And it was like dopamine a little bit, but then it was never enough, or I'd just fall asleep. It's weird. You sit and you're like, well, I kind of want to watch or Netflix or something. I'd rather binge whatever show is out there. I don't know.
I don't know.
But I'd rather binge Netflix right now than go walk a mile and be in nature or go mm-hmm. to the beach. Yet anytime you choose the walk in nature and the beach, you're significantly bless you. Wow. You're significantly more satisfied.
Yeah.
Every time. But it doesn't matter if you do that repetitively and you know that. You could literally be aware of the fact that the beach mm-hmm. option is significantly better than the Netflix binge yeah. option, but your meat
the default,
suit
yeah.
is going to default to, yeah. well, I just sit down and watch Netflix.
It's like you have to remind yourself, but remember how good you're going to feel and remember that it's important to get yeah. steps in, and remember that you're in a competition with Drew on your watch and you don't want him to win right. steps for the day or whatever. It's so little, have to like convince yourself yeah, a little bit.
Those little tricks are helpful. They're definitely helpful and they're a great like stepping stone into that. But God, I would love to make my default
yeah.
the better option.
Yeah.
You know, well, and that's because that's like diets and 10 ways to lose fat around your belly or whatever. All those little tricks are great tricks. They're great
yeah.
ways to kind of take one step out of where you've been, but they're never a solution. The solution is to be able to do it without a trick. It's the solution is to be able to get energy without pre-workout or be able to have one drink and not 20 mm-hmm. or one. Yeah, I mean, that's the move, right? Is like ice cream is a beautiful thing or Froyo.
Yeah.
Can I have one cup? I'm not quite there yet unless someone literally like breaks my hands off.
Yeah.
But
I think that I could definitely do that. I don't know if I struggle with that quite as much.
Yeah, I'm a little more feast or famine.
Yeah. But if I can speak plainly.
Speak plainly.
I think that there's a slight reinforcement with your words and what you tell yourself historically, what you've done in the past, and telling yourself like, oh no, I don't have self-control when it comes to this food, or yeah. so I just don't eat anything. And I think that sometimes you hear yourself say it enough and you, I mean, I do that too with certain things for sure. But, I wonder how much at this point, if you were presented with, hey, do you want a cup of ice cream or none? Like, oh, I can't have the cup because I don't have self-control. Then how much of that is you just like telling yourself based on history?
Yeah, there's sure. But if someone gave me one cup or none, that's a little different. If someone gave me a spoon, opened a carton
yeah.
and said, have one spoonful, unless I do it quickly, enjoy it and literally sprint away from it
yeah.
immediately. There's no way I'm having one spoonful. Yeah. Maybe, and peer pressure sometimes when people are around, especially healthy people, I could probably like get away with it. Or,
yeah.
But if it was just me, yeah. a little bit of the vape
literally
pen,
no one's looking. Have you ever done that? I know I have, where I tell myself, Like, say, okay, so like when I was a dental hygienist, they would always bring in treats. This is so ironic because it's a dental office. And it's like we tell people not to have candy and treats and all the time.
Between health services,
yes,
industry, yes, and nutrition.
Yes. Yeah. Anyways,
doctors and nurses out there are just crushing donuts every Friday.
Like most of them?
Yeah.
But people would always send us gifts. Patients would bring in treats or whatever. And I was always very healthy and I, you know, would have the best intentions to not eat them. And I would, if there's other people in the room, I'm like, no, I'm good. Or people offer like, no, I'm good. Or we would have a party and someone would have cake and like, oh, do you want some? Like, no, I'm good. I'm pass on it. But there was these very, distinct moments and events, I feel like, when I was by myself, like say there's a box of donuts or Cupcake Royale. Mm. Cupcake Royale in West Seattle was ridiculous. It was stupid good. And people would bring in these little ones, the little minis.
Oh yeah.
And if no one was in there, even if I had already told them no and told myself no 6 times, if I was in there by myself, sometimes like maybe 3 times that I worked there, I would make sure no one was in there and I would have some like a bite and I would eat it really, really quickly, not even enjoy it, but just literally want the taste to hit my tongue. That's all I wanted. And like that little tiny, you know, sugar dopamine. Yeah. And I would make sure to like chew it up really quickly. And this was like the depth of my like crazy strict orthorexia, where I was like, I had abs, but I also had no estrogen.
Right.
So this was like the depths where I was the girl that always said no to treats. So if I eat one, then who am I now to these people?
Right.
Have you ever done that?
I've never done that. That's probably what makes you and I different. I'm feast or famine. I struggle with one. Unless there's a big group around or whatever. But yeah, I haven't done that. No.
You've never like snuck a bite when no one's around just because.
I mean.
For the reason like, oh, no one's here. I'm going to have a little bit.
No.
Wow. Isn't that crazy how like, even though we both dealt with our issues with health and like fitness and very, very strict to the point of sick rules when it comes to, we all have our own little. Our own little diagnosis of what we do is like,
I ran 6 miles this morning. I have a deficit going on. I'm going to slam this cupcake or I'm going to actually take this home.
Like, I deserve it.
I'm going to take this home and I'm going to eat it for dinner tonight or have it part of it as dinner tonight or make that judgment call at the grocery store. Like, yeah, I'm going to grab Captain Crunch because I built up a deficit. I mean, that was back when all I thought was
calories in, calories out.
But
the calculator approach.
Yeah, it's a wild, beautiful journey, and I know. I often wonder, why do I love health so much? Why am I into this health and fit? Why do I say it's my passion?
Do you have an answer?
Right now, it's like bullet point list would be. Makes me feel great when it's right, when it's balanced, makes me feel great. Get out of bed, body doesn't hurt, have energy throughout the day. And then I do like the little piece of all of this in that the real understanding of health, which is a constant journey, but I feel like I'm at least on that path, is almost like a secret. It's like a secret the rest of the world doesn't know.
I love that.
And I'm so grateful to be on that path, trying to bring other people in it.
Yeah.
And learning from those who are further ahead. Mm-hmm. It feels like a secret.
Yeah.
And so that's really cool to me now. Mm-hmm. I've always been into fitness. Always. For totally wrong reasons. Athletics, it was competition and some dopamine. There's always been the dopamine, like, oh, I'm in shape. You get that kind of feedback that you look good. Always. That's still there now. No lie. Those Burning Man pictures go up. I'm grateful that I have a six pack.
Yeah. Me too.
And that people are like, oh my God, like that still feels good. Okay.
Yeah.
So I still like that. But then it's been everything from competition through athletics. Then it was, oh my God, we got this wedding. I got to look good for pictures. got into it, learned more about exercise. I've always been somewhat like health acumen strong for exercise, mm-hmm. just being in athletics.
Yeah.
Never to the level that it is now, but the nutrition was way off. Yeah. Calories in, calories out. And, after the wedding, of just having a goal to get in front of something, mm-hmm. And be physically attractive, it really became a control thing.
Yeah.
Life was out of control, working all the time.
Yeah.
So my obsessive compulsive brain, control freak ego, could not control my personal life. I literally had no control over it. I was just put on an airplane every week and couldn't control my work life, working my ass off. Not even really, you know, those first few years in a firm are just brutal. You don't even know what you're doing. You're just like completely micromanaged. And so I was like, what can I control? My food and my exercise to extreme degrees. And I wasn't getting even much serotonin, satiation, satisfaction mm-hmm. anywhere in my life. So I flooded it with dopamine. And I would do that guilt-free by building up a huge caloric deficit, flooding my brain with dopamine by eating. Mm. Or, you know, we would do that. I'd be like, oh yeah, pancake Sunday. Let me go run 8 miles before I mm-hmm. slam calories.
Yeah.
And just flood my brain with dopamine. Or I'm going to starve all day, work out all day excessively, mm-hmm. smoke a shiz ton of weed.
And then we'll eat a box of Golden Grahams.
We'll eat a box of Golden Grahams and we'll literally watch porn, which is like food porn. You know, we watch those videos that were, I don't even know what they're called.
Yeah.
They used to be all over my Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah. Like how to make this like dessert or whatever we would send each other, or just like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We would watch that. Now we watch like hippie videos.
Yeah. What's funny is you may actually still get ripped off of that.
Yeah.
In the short term.
Right.
You may feel like shit. You may have a terrible digestive system. You may be farting for 50 hours afterwards, but it kind of works like aesthetically. These guys can still have six packs, especially if they're hitting any sort of like supplement, growth hormone,
injectable,
testosterone, and whatever.
Do you think that rule applies for women though?
I don't know.
I don't think it does.
Have you ever seen those like fit your macros, flexible dieting?
I've never like looked into them. Yeah, no,
it's wild. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I understand the concept, but I don't know if it works. I don't know if that would work so much for women. I think for it to be super, super, super lean to the point where like if you're filming Instagram videos,
these guys weren't lean. They were jacked. They were pretty big because they're getting just massive amounts of calories.
But you wouldn't look at them and be like, wow, that guy has a lot of fat.
No.
Right? Yeah. That's what I mean by lean. Like lean in that there's not a lot of fat, even though there's a lot of muscle.
Yeah.
I don't mean lean skinny. But I don't think women can like get away with that as much. Mm.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, just like on a hormone level, maybe. If an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 20-year-old guy is, that's like the peak of his testosterone.
Right.
Even if he's trashing it with, you know,
Pop-Tarts and
xenoestrogens and all these like gross things that are in the food, it's like this is his window, nature, evolution, this is his window to make a baby, and so it doesn't matter what you're eating, like we're gonna give you a lot of testosterone here.
Yeah, for sure.
It's crazy how much your diet can have an effect on your hormones.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's something. Hormonal health
is everything.
But I had zero knowledge.
Oh, yeah. Same.
Zero.
Same.
I mean, back when it was the food pyramid, I always sort of understood what was good. It's pretty straight up. Like, what comes from the earth, and there's as least steps as possible from earth or its living life to the time that it's in your mouth, the mm-hmm. better. That's kind of your basics. Everybody should know that. But what I never understood is, and then it was like, oh, yeah, you know, less processed food, less fried food, less fats, whatever. Be all right. What I never understood is how it impacts your hormonal health mm-hmm. and how important your hormone regulation is within mm-hmm. your own body.
Literally, hormones run everything.
People hear hormones like, and they think, oh, that girl on her period is super moody.
Right. That's like, the link to hormones.
Hormones. Yeah.
No, actually men have them and they control everything in you too.
Right.
Yeah. It's literally your body being able to talk with these messengers, you know, and if it's off or you don't have one, then yeah, you can still function as a human. You're not going to fall over dead, but things are going to arise over the course of maybe 4, 6 months, 12 months, like they did for both of us.
Yeah. And hormones are impacted by everything, not just food. Mm-hmm. It's
stress.
It's conversation. It's sleep. Mm-hmm. It's food, it's exercise, it's your work, it's your job, it's the air you breathe. It's literally everything has a hormonal response. It'd be so interesting to know if you could just have this secret knowledge of how many relationships in the world and how much self-love, whether it's self-love or love for somebody else or relationship dynamics, are actually negatively or positively impacted by their hormonal health.
Mm.
Like the correlation between how healthy are you hormonally.
Yeah. Just the only factor looking at your based off of your relationship.
Just relationship. Mm-hmm. Not even like fitness.
And anything. Like a significant relationship.
Yeah. Just, and how you do with self-love and like depression or where you're at sort of mentally and your hormonal health. It's kind of like, I wonder if you just tried to find the source or treated the source. Like what if you hormonally woke, it's kind of like starting out life with a disadvantage or 10 steps behind everybody else if you're not in a good spot hormonally. If you wake up and you're like, man, I'm really not excited about the day, is that something wrong with your brain or is that potentially something going on hormonally? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Get balanced, find your equilibrium, and then start assessing your problems.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be curious how much can be solved just by getting back to center when it comes to hormones.
Yeah. It's such a vicious cycle because, like, say something is going wrong in relationship, like take us for example, like we weren't in a great spot. And so I think it added like this layer of stress and to our physical body, like what was actually happening physically to us. And then because we weren't firing, because maybe that's what started it, then you want to have sex less, or you aren't as happy, or you search for other things to make you happy, or whatever it is. And then it's a vicious cycle. And it's like, I think that relationship is a big one that you can start on. Like if you don't even know where to start, look at your relationship. I think that's a really good, now I would be able to tell someone that, but there's no way like 4 years ago I would ever think that.
Yeah.
Like I would be like, no, what,
what is something,
how many calories are you getting?
What is something that you know is such a good indicator for feedback now that you previously ignored?
What's a good indicator for feedback?
Yeah. So like something in your life that
gives, for myself.
Yeah. Like monitoring that myself. Gives you feedback, just sort of inherently gives you feedback that you previously ignored and you're like, oh my God, I wish I would have paid attention to that.
Yeah.
Even little things like I can think of a million, but just like even little things, like for me, it was like, God, my shins hurt. Why the fuck are my shins hurting? Oh, I was actually anemic. And for whatever reason, because my blood was a thinner.
You just have less iron.
Less iron in my blood. And so my bones hurt. Oh, weird. Okay.
Yeah. I think paying attention to, how I feel after food and digestion and elimination, aka pooping.
Yeah, as I sit here and ate, got really overconfident with cheese a couple nights ago and have been floating away like Aunt Marge from Harry Potter the last 2 days.
I think paying attention to that, definitely. I don't think people do that enough. Like, I mean, now we do it. Like, we're able to kind of like, you figured it out. Like, okay, why am I waking up bloated? Why did I like wake up in the middle of the night in a pool of my own sweat? There's something going on. It's not just like, huh, I guess maybe it was hot. No, that's not normal. So it's like tracing it back to, what did I do differently? Yeah. Oh, I put 5 different kinds of cheese on my salad from Whole Foods. And I don't usually eat cheese unless it's a little bit of Parmesan. So like being able to trace it back and like, okay, maybe I won't do that now. Rather, someone else might just be like, well, I like cheese a lot.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
And they just fart all the time anyway.
Yeah, like farting.
That's one thing with dudes, especially. Yeah. Guys, like, that's just normal. Yeah, I just fart all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Bus rides in high school, everybody's slamming like Muscle Milks and protein bars.
Just a clown.
And nobody has any, you know, yeah, just guys fart all the time. Smells yeah, really I mean, bad. Normal.
Yeah, I mean, I think the normal girl does too, but we just don't talk about it.
You're just internally farting.
But that's one thing that we've talked about
yeah.
is how when we are dialed in and we're eating well and eating what we know our bodies respond well to, like, I don't fart.
No.
And like and maybe and
all
they,
day without farting.
Even health, you know, people, like people in the health and wellness space will be like, no, farting is normal. Your body is releasing gases. And then I've heard other people like, no, it's actually not.
Right.
Excessively. Like maybe one a day is like not a big deal.
Or if you got air in your body, fart it out a little bit. But if it's like
aggressive,
tearing up the community nearby.
Yeah.
With your stench.
If it sounds like a blowhorn, probably not great.
Or like, I mean, I wolf my food often, or mm-hmm. I'll drink bubbly drinks, like even carbonated water, which isn't bad for you necessarily, will sometimes just give me a little farty party, or a little broccoli, little farty party.
Yeah.
You got to be able to like navigate through it. Mm-hmm. Farting isn't like the worst in the world.
Right.
But if you're in pain, that's another thing.
It actually, I would argue that it is the worst when you're a dental hygienist and it's only you and the patient in the room.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't say that I was excessive, but there's definitely specific moments and times that I can remember where I'm like, crap, I would literally have to get up because if you let one out, they know it's yeah. you.
You could have been like, we're putting a new topical on your teeth here. Don't be alarmed if it smells like a fart. Real quick.
You know, what I hear from patients a lot is that it kind of has like a farty sulfuric smell. Don't worry about that. Also, if you hear me cough really loud, yeah. No, you don't do that. So sometimes it is a big deal.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, there's nothing worse than like cramping up your entire yeah. intestinal tract.
Giving yourself a legit stomach ache.
Yeah, like by just
swallowing farts.
And sometimes, yeah, swallowing farts. And you can like feel it in your throat sometimes. Yeah. Like, God, I just gotta let one out.
Yeah. That is, yeah.
I'm really glad I don't live in that space anymore outside of the last couple of days. Mm. Whole Foods, take away the cheese temptation.
Yeah, that was it.
You sons of bitches. Plus,
yeah. That was rough.
It's been sitting out all day. Who the hell knows what it was yeah. conjured up in?
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe just don't have five.
Don't have five. Yep. Yeah. Stick to Parmesan. It's funny because I always say like, yeah, I'm so glad that I can reintroduce a couple cheeses. Hard cheeses. Just it's got to be hard cheeses or made from like, you know, very minimally lactose.
Yeah.
Like even goat cheese is usually okay. Or skim mozzarella just in moderation.
You had blue cheese, feta going yeah. on. You had balls of mozzarella.
I couldn't stop. The salad bar could not stop.
Do you think that has something to do with being out of your environment and doing the fasting, you know, like you had a really busy day at work. You didn't get to lunch.
Oh, and it was a stressful day.
It was a very stressful yeah. day. And you said going into
Whole
Foods.
I was like, I'm ready to stress eat.
You actually said that. You said, yeah, I'm ready to throw some stress eating down. I was like, I didn't, it's not like I was, I know you were joking kind of, but
not really.
Not.
Yeah. Versus like last night, similarly, ate very lean throughout the day, which I always do, and then had a comfortable whole food dinner with one little gold drink afterwards. Nothing excessive. Mm-hmm. Went to bed very comfortably. Slept beautifully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how much do you think any of it had to do with the stress that you put your body,
oh, definitely.
That you were in
that specific day. Yeah.
They say like, don't eat when you're stressed, when you're angry, when you're sad. That's like, I think that's one of the reasons why I really like when we sit down to eat, like at, even when we go out to eat, we do this, but, when we sit down at home to eat dinner before we eat, we, instead of just like praying and saying grace, mm-hmm. which is fine. We, you know, hold hands and we just get silent for probably, I don't know, maybe 30 seconds,
yeah.
just take deep breaths. And we sit and we think about whatever, I don't know what you usually think about, but I picture the food like going in and I actually picture the food going into my cells and like
yeah.
making my body thrive and just breathing deep and being thankful for the animal that gave its life or it's, you know, the vegetables.
Filling, it's filling with gratitude.
Yeah.
Prior to filling with food. Mm-hmm. When you're stressed, or even if you're not stressed and you have this like empty space, this capacity, you easily want to flood it with dopamine or mm-hmm. food that gives you dopamine. But if you kind of take the edge off with gratitude yeah. or even breath, it's amazing what mm-hmm. breath can do, and just lowering your stress levels and mm-hmm. lowering your heart rate. And it's like, oh, wow, I'm suddenly not ravenous. Mm-hmm. I'm actually excited to experience this like ceremony of respecting nutrients mm-hmm. and food. Totally. And it's amazing. They actually talk about it, Burning Man. They're like, you know, with the heat and you're going to be active and you're going to be kind of distracted, just make sure you eat enough food, because you'll pretty easily, you know, mm-hmm. be in a caloric deficit all day and you're in the harsh conditions. You're going to make sure you want to eat.
Yeah.
I would actually argue, because you're in such a low worldly stressor environment, like you don't have your phone buzzing you. You don't have mm-hmm. arguments that are taking place over the course of the day. You're in this creative, adventurous type
discovery mode yeah.
that you're filled up with mm-hmm. life and mm-hmm. gratitude and love and fun, where food just falls down the priority mm-hmm. list.
Yeah. It doesn't sound as like, because you're getting filled, it doesn't sound as like enticing, because right. it's like, no, I'm actually really enjoying walking around and discovering and yeah. or sitting on the roof and, you know, watching the storm or watching the sunset. There's totally. So many things to fill. And certainly you can, there's no lack of things that you can find in your day, regular day. You don't have to be at Burning Man to right. do this. It's just easier because there's no like outside technology distraction. Yeah. Your phone literally doesn't work. So unless you're taking selfies all day, you don't have your Apple Watch on. You don't have your phone on you. You can't answer email.
Right.
You can't be worried about Instagram likes. So what you're worried about is, or rather what you're focused on, is the person next to you or in front of you mm-hmm. or the sunset or, yeah. you know, the naked person in line doing squats with blue hair.
Yeah.
Shout out, Sam.
Sam, shout out. Where are they from?
I think
Oregon.
Oregon, yeah. Yeah,
that's yeah. how the conversation got started.
Yeah, I think you started the conversation with
Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah. There was this, we were in line at the Sunrise Diner.
Sunrise Diner.
Chase always says sunset. Sunrise Diner. And every day they would do, everything is free there. Everything is a gift. But they would do breakfast sandwiches.
Amazing breakfast sandwiches.
And by amazing, he means warm. Because
they were really good.
They were really good. But if somebody offered to us today, this morning, we'd be like, ugh, I'm not eating Kraft singles. Sorry. But when you're eating snacks as meals, like we were, having a warm sandwich was, no matter what was inside, it tasted really, really good and really nourishing.
Yeah.
And so we would go stand in line for, you know, probably what, 30 minutes.
Yeah. Great conversation.
Yeah. Which didn't bother us. And it was kind of like a winding line. Like it would be at the airport, because there was a ton of people in line waiting. And this couple, I noticed that this older lady, she's probably like 55, 60, completely naked and with blue hair. And I just saw her and I was just like, oh my gosh.
Great blue eyes.
Yeah.
Bright yeah. yellow teeth.
But right away, you don't notice the eyes. You notice, oh, there's a very old, not very old, but there's an older lady naked, literally 3 inches away from Chase. And she's doing squats.
Yeah, body squats.
Why not?
Why not?
And her husband is next to her, fully clothed.
Yep.
And he has his little ID around his neck, and Chase saw that he was from Oregon, so he strikes up a conversation. Like, oh, Oregon. And so then we started talking, and Sam then turns around, and then you're locked in on those blue eyes,
yeah.
or brown eyes or hazel, whatever.
You forget that she's naked.
Yeah, I didn't forget, but I was really focused on staring at her face.
Right.
And she pointed me out. She literally pointed to me, went around you. Yeah. Around you and pointed me out. I think she could feel maybe some like negative energy coming from me. Not that I had any, like, I wasn't necessarily like, I hate her. It was just
this a little off-putting,
a little judgment going on. Like, why do you need to do squats naked in line? Like, why? But the reason is because it's Burning Man and there are literally no rules. Mm. You can do whatever you want. And I knew that, but she pointed me out and was made conversation with me and super nice lady. And immediately, like after that, I was like, oh, I love her.
Yeah.
You do you, boo. Go do squats.
For sure.
I had a really interesting thought and a question that I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
If we just got rid of, like, if the world at large stopped doing formal weddings and rings, do you think, how much do you think the wedding, the billion-dollar industry that it is, would go down? How many less people would get married if there were no, like, big flashy weddings or rings? The reason why I'm asking this is because just like popped up my Instagram and there was a couple on there, a couple we went to high school with, and or one of the people actually, and the girl was sitting on his lap and it was a series of photos. It was like four photos, and the first three were her holding her hand out towards the camera showing the ring, and then it was zoomed in even more and then zoomed in even more on the ring. And the caption was, "Dreams really do come true." And it wasn't anything about, and she's a really nice girl, I'm not being judgmental, but it got me thinking, if we couldn't post about the ring and we couldn't be crazy about like the wedding and like how flashy it is and how much it's going to impress people,
mm-hmm.
would there be a drop in people getting married is the question.
Probably. There'd definitely be a drop in people being excited about getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have a wedding and you don't have a ring, what's the point in getting married outside of kind of the legal benefits of doing so?
Mm-hmm.
So the industry itself might actually collapse. I mean, the dream weddings, yeah, it would probably be significantly less.
Or if maybe the rule is not you can't have weddings, but it's like you can't put anything on social media.
Huh. Yeah.
I've thought that with the gym. Like if Instagram didn't exist, 50% of these girls would not be here. Mostly girls, I think. But also definitely. Guys.
Also guys too. I wonder how they get their workouts done.
Mm-hmm.
Like trying to keep his heart rate going.
Yeah.
Like, do you hire somebody to take Instagram videos of you? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's weird, but it's the norm now to go into a big box gym, especially in a place like Southern California, and you see a phone with a little stand on it just zoomed on someone's ass as they don't even have much weight on the rack. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm just trying to show you my ass cheeks as I bend down with a small layer of spandex material on them.
But the good news is that when they post that, they're going to put a quote with it that's really inspiring.
Yeah.
And they're going to be teaching a lot of people.
I'm 19 years old, but I've been working so hard on my attitude. Whatever.
No, but like,
I don't want to throw out shade.
It's just funny to examine. It's a whole nother dimension. It's a whole nother way to examine human behavior. And intention and all that.
It is a really interesting question, though, about the dream wedding. It's such a consistent theme throughout anything in life and these achievements in life. The dream wedding, the dream house, the dream career, the dream vacation.
But how much energy is spent on that? Even just take the wedding, for example, like how many hours and hours and hours of planning, hundreds and thousands of hours, maybe not thousands, I don't know, but a lot of time goes into planning something one day
and money.
And how much time and energy and money goes into prepping the couple and really like doing the work between the two to make sure that like hey, the wedding could be awesome, but how's the marriage going to be? And someone could argue, well, that's what the engagement, that's what the dating is for. But it's a different ballgame when you know you're going to be married.
It's a different ballgame. And you're flat out. I'm not going to say you're flat out. I'm going to say at a certain age, time frame, life experience. It's not even age. It's a matter of life experiences, how much you've actually done as a couple in the real world. You may not actually be equipped to hear what you need to hear if you're too young by life experience terms or by relationship experience terms. I'm not saying like, oh, you have to be at least 25. But what I'm saying is you have to accumulate some reps in life individually and as a couple before the real, real advice and counseling can actually be heard, implemented, effective. Someone could have told us a lot of stuff at 21 and 22. And we would have been like, yeah. We would have been nodding. And we would have been like, we'll be okay. We'll be fine. But you won't unless you've actually sort of have the context to take that advice and place it in the experiences of your own life. I mean, I love the idea and the meaning behind a sacred, like, spiritual pact between two people. But, and I think it's okay. Why does it have to be one time? It can be consistent. Like, it can be, it can be at 18. Like, I love you. I'm committed to you. It can be at 23. I love you. I'm committed to you. And then at, like, I don't know, 28. I love you and I'm committed to you for fucking life. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm ready to say that.
Yeah. Life. Like, keep doing it. Keep choosing each other. Yeah. Yep. That sounds way better.
Yeah. And then eventually it's like, I've been committed to you for a long time and I'm to a point where I'm so confident that I'm committing to this thing for life. Yeah.
When I read Theology of the Body, which is a book all around the intention and meaning of sex. One of the things that I thought was really cool was he wrote about how the covenant of sex is renewed every time, or the covenant of marriage is renewed every single time you have sex. I thought that was really cool that it's more than just like, you know, pleasure or whatever, or just for making children. It's actually a renewal of your commitment and your covenant together. Yeah. It's deep. It's heavy.
That is deep. And then it makes you wonder how many times sex is misused, if that's the intention. And you're like weirdly making this like covenant renewal with somebody that you never have the covenant to begin with.
Right.
Weird. Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. What? Can I ask you one more question?
Yes.
What is the medicine for you today?
Medicine for me today is I'm committed. It's already happening, but I'm committed to having deep conversations that expand my worldview today. And I know that. Yes. I'm having them with you right now. We're going to have them throughout the course of the day. And my dear friend, Matt, is going to spend some time with me today. And yeah, my brain's going to grow a little bit. I love it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love it.
What is the medicine for Mimi today?
I really want to enjoy the sun today. And I think while you're hanging out with Matt, I'm going to go and like read on the beach and like ground a little bit. And so I think I might ride my bike to the beach and just ground in the sand. And that is going to be some actual medicine.
Love that.
I like you.
I love you.
I love you and I like you.
Me too.
That's important. Okay, bye. So I hope you really enjoyed this episode Under the Red Hat with Chase and I. I hope it made you think and laugh both. That is the best combination. Am I right? I'm right. I want you to take one of our thoughts or contemplations or wonderings and take it to someone you love in your life.
go wonder about the people that are dear to you. And you'll see some of your relationships change when you do that. I know I did. Well, have an amazing day. Go spread some light. We'll talk to you soon.